Alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in the doctrine of peace. We're on Roman numeral 4, but before we begin, turn to Revelation 18. I guess you know what that is. You better. All right, let's take the customary time to get ourselves under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The directive will of God for believers is to assemble under face-to-face teaching and to do so in fellowship and receive those things that are presented to them for their edification, encouragement, and orientation, because we all need information to continue to make adjustments and corrections in our thinking and in our Christian life. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we know for sure that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We thank you that you have provided for us in your grace the pathway to truth and understanding in your plan. Be with us in the things that are brought to our attention this evening, in Christ's name. Amen. From the very beginning, if you can go back that far, to 1976, when I first introduced the doctrine of the United States and prophecy, one of the points that I made over and over and since then is that when the United States is finally destroyed in the tribulation, its economy will be booming. Big time. A little bit of an aside. When the Jews came out of Babylon under the first restoration, they had spent 70 years in Babylon. During those 70 years living in the Jewish quarter, they prospered. They were not oppressed in Babylon like they were down in Egypt. They prospered. And so the test of positive volition was for them to return and rebuild their homeland, or just continue to luxuriate in Babylon. That was the test of positive volition for these people. And most of them didn't come out of Babylon. You have in the Old Testament and pre-exile, you have numbers, data, giving you the number of people that did it, that made that sacrifice to travel the 500 miles to their homeland that many of them, but some, had never seen. That was a test of their positive volition, because the place was in ruins. No Jerusalem walls, of course, no temple. They finally got to go ahead to do the temple, and they built that and all the rest of it under a lot of duress from occupants within the land that gave them problems. So the point is, they put getting in the geographical will, the directive will, all above comfort in Babylon. After the rapture of the church, an announcement will be made along with a couple other announcements. The first announcement, the first thing is, let's get everybody on the earth evangelized. Let's get them the gospel. Nobody can stop that. An angel is the one who does the evangelizing of all the nations in their languages. Grace always precedes judgment. People have another chance to make the salvation adjustment. There is also an announcement associated with the... you're going to have to wait to see if I'm right. Associated with throwing a large object into the sea, the Atlantic Ocean, is never to be recovered. It can't just be some big boulder. That wouldn't make much sense. So I picked the Statue of Liberty because the Statue of Liberty sits on a base that's round like a millstone. And based on what angels can do, he'll pick the whole thing up. And he'll throw it in the Atlantic and say this is symbolic, the country's going down. But the announcement will be that Americans, if they choose to, need to leave, or you'll be destroyed in the destruction. God will make a way for people to exit. He doesn't give directives and then, oh, I can't do that, because everything's so, quote, locked down and the country is so enslaved that people can't do it. He'll break this all down. Always keep in mind, these people out here and whatever they're doing, they do not control history. Jesus Christ controls it. And so he will overrule, as we have seen so many times in Scripture, he will overrule the designs and plans of men in the interest of his people and his plan. So people will, there is indications in the prophecy, significant amount of people will exit this country. And they are told what to do. See this? Let's go back. This is how you stay focused in the last days. You have to have this prophetic anchor. If you don't, you're just going to run amok and get caught in things. This is the prophetic picture at the end. And the test for a person living in America, which I'm going to get to here in a minute, if you were a believer like those people living in Babylon, those Jews that came out of Babylon, that saw the importance of doing the plan of God and being where the action is above their comfort zone, their comforts and their livelihood in Babylon. They put that ahead of that. There will be people who will leave this country. And they will not be leaving this country. And this is a long point I'm getting around to. They will not be leaving this country when it's in economic doldrums that so many are predicting is going to happen because of what just happened. Already, the economy is rebounding. The May job reports and other things, it's coming back around. Again, Christ controls history. Not those jokers that are out there trying to do what they're doing. They will be checkmated. Your prayers ought to be in that regard. We know what the real evildoers are up to. They want to destroy this country and turn it into a communist nightmare. That's what they're up to. But God has a plan. And Revelation 18, for those out there on the web that might be listening to this, yes, the United States is in prophecy. I will not cite all the chapters in your Bible that brings this to our attention. But you know what? It's worth rereading these. We showed you the reasons why it isn't all the suggestions that have, the various suggestions that have come down through time. It's a last days nation, divine institution whom God would like to heal. But we won't be healed. There won't be what Thiem called a pivot. You know, in Old Testament times, when Israel turned back to God and got, and he called the dogs off, whether it was the Assyrian or whoever, they had, even in Hezekiah's day, they took it right up to the end before they turned back to God. And that does not require that every last Jewish person has their act together. That would be unreasonable. It has to do that there is a significant remnant that will turn to the Lord, and the rest of the nation is simply blessed by association. In America, this won't happen. I would have healed Babylon, but Babylon would not be healed. Babylon is code for the United States. Don't confuse this, those of you listening, with chapter 17. There's two Babylons in the last days. There is the religious Babylon, headquartered in Italy, Rome, Italy. Bet you guess who that is. That one's going down in the trib too. The other one is an economic power and military power. A big economic power. That's our claim to fame. No nation in human history ever has attained to the economic heights that this country has. In the couple 200 plus years of our history, in spite of the banking system, think what it would have been if we didn't have all that mess, but we're going to go there. The fact is, it is an economic powerhouse. And of course, we have abused it, right and left, whether on the national political level down to people, shop till you drop crowd, the materialistic crowd. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. It's what people do with it. Now here's my point. You can hold me to this. When this country goes down, it's going to be booming like mad. It isn't going to be in a recession, depression. So whatever they're planning out there, pardon the expression, it's going to be trumped. It absolutely is. And that poor guy up there, you can say he's this and that, but God raises up men for purposes. He doesn't have a clue about any of this. He may even be a believer. The verses I wanted to read. Now, after listening the introduction, all the nations have been connected, have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. These relationships. You know, in our founding, the idea was. This became a ridicule term, isolationism. Isolationism doesn't mean we don't trade with others. Israel traded with others. Israel traded with Tyre. And God sanctified the wages of the whore. It's in the Bible. So it wasn't anything wrong with trading with these people, having commerce with them, pagans that they were. They did. That isn't the part. When I'm not going to get into all the shenanigans, because this country was hijacked by the central bankers and all that business out of England, but we're still a nation. England's our mother nation. Your mother. And that means somebody who brought that was there at your founding. Great Britain. And that's also in the prophecies too. Britain's in prophecy. And I think in prophecy, Britain is indicated that Britain's going to... Britain in the tribulation, the population, that's what it means. He's going to pull the eagle's wings off of the back of the lion. You know, it's the old expression, we've been joined to the hip with Great Britain from even the revolutionary period. We never completely separated like we should have from them. They continued to have their hooks in us. And even though we had a president or two or three that wanted to rise up against that banking system, the first was Andrew Jackson. By Almighty God, I'm going to cast these people out. And have a national bank. And we did briefly. But man, he only can be president for a while, and then the next clown comes along and the thing goes back, and they're constantly working to make this happen. Kennedy stood up to him. He's my favorite president in my lifetime, by far. John Kennedy and his brother. And they killed both of them. And even George, who was going to get to the bottom of this mess. But anyway, that's not my subject. My subject is documentation. Documentation is in verses 7 through 8. To the degree that she has glorified herself and lived sensuously. Could translate that luxuriously. This is an overall view of America, Americana and prosperity. No, everyone doesn't have it like every, but there's poverty within the country, obviously always has been. To the same degree, give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I'm not a widow, and I'll never see mourning. It has been expressed that we are the special nation, American exceptionalism. The world needs us. We're the light on the hill. All this you hear, I've heard these things from leaders. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come. That's one 24-hour day. Pestilence, mourning, famine. She will be burned up with fire, for the Lord who judges her is strong. Jeremiah 51. When Babylon, of course in Jeremiah, for those who may be new to this, this isn't dealing at all with historical Babylon and its fall. Historical Babylon fell without hardly a whimper as far as the average citizen was concerned. The average citizen in Babylon went to bed one day, a Babylonian, under the kingdom Nebuchadnezzar found. They woke up the next day. It was like it was decapitated and a new head was put on it. And they were ruled by the Persians, Cyrus and Darius. And everybody was told, go back to your business. No harm will come to you. They got rid of the poison and this was the transition. And this is known historically. So don't think this at all. This would be the complete opposite of what we read in Jeremiah 50 and 51. And the verses I wanted to read here for you. Therefore, thus says the Lord. Behold, I'm going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you. I will dry up your sea. That doesn't mean the ocean's going to dry up. That's commerce over the high seas. All the products that you and I are well aware of that come to this country from all over the place. From the east and the west and all these products that people can purchase and acquire. Automobiles, clothing, everything. I'm going to dry up your sea. Because we see also in Revelation 18 that the merchants of the earth are quite upset when this country is destroyed suddenly in one day. They are shocked and they are in disarray. Well, if we are in absolute economic doldrums or worse, how could that be? That's all cut off. I will dry up your sea. Yes, it's, and make her fountain dry. That's internal commerce. That's all those trucks you see running around, bringing food and goods and transporting stuff internally in the country. See, a fountain is to be contrasted with the sea, but both involve commerce, movement of product. Babylon will become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, an object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. Absolutely nobody is going to ultimately, that they're all not going to die that one day, but it will take a while, but the attrition will continue, and no matter what kind of holes they're dug in the ground in, all those old Cold War bunkers, they said, you can buy a Cold War bunker. All these places that the doomsday bunkers for the end that the rich have, what a joke. Nobody is going to escape without inhabitants. This country will be, there won't be anybody in the most remote backwoods, back country that will ultimately survive this. They may for a little while. without inhabitants. Then this is the way this Jeremiah thing, it goes like in cycles. Forward, back, forward, back. You take a look at the destruction and the final results of it, and then you turn around and see how it was before. They will roar together like young lions, and they growl like lions' cubs. When they become heated up, I'll serve them their banquet. Now, you might think that refers to the enemy. Lions have voracious appetites. It doesn't refer to the enemy. It refers to the business people. The business people. The stock market. All of it. They will become heated up. I will serve them their banquet and make them drunk that they may become jubilant. Here's the picture I see when this country gets, and this is 3 years into the trip. We get raptured and almost three full years into the tribulation, almost to the midpoint. After we're out of here, this country will have another few years. My calculations. And we will be prospering. If God says, let there be, you know, like in Genesis 1, there is. If He wills something against all opposition, it's going to happen. So I thought maybe I'd encourage you this evening with regard to this and remind you of something that I believe will stand the test of time. Oh yeah, we had the big economic down in 2008. Big deal. Now, I know it wasn't a big deal for some people because they got hurt by it. But overall, we walked right out of it. And we're going to walk out of this. See, your eyes on Bible prophecy, get your eyes, if they are, on the wrong things. There's all kinds of prognosticators out there, all kinds of doom and gloom people. Some of them are right about some things. They've done their research, but they don't know Bible prophecy. They're clueless. They don't know these scriptures. They've never come across them. And may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the Lord. I'll bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams together with the male goats. How Shishak has been captured. I wonder, Shishak, it means nothing. It's not a word in a dictionary that has an equivalent meaning. It is a reference to Babylon. And the praise of the whole earth has been seized. How Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. We're bordered on seas both sides. And this doesn't refer to an inundation. Although I did read that Russia has a new weapon. A drone type weapon launched from a submarine, if I recall correctly. It was in RT, Russian their news thing. And there's another one called Sputnik. And then another report on Zero Hedge. That guy writes pretty good. He doesn't have any Bible doctrine, but he writes real good. It's called Zero Hedge. Got his name offhand. And he was dealing with this. This weapon is designed to hit shorelines and cause 1,600-foot waves with radioactive isotopes. Now, God has been... See, there was a point in my history of teaching this doctrine. It didn't look good. Russia didn't look like it could conquer itself. I mean, towards the end of the Soviet era, everything was in disrepair. The economy sucked. It just was a joke. And all their old weapons were worn out and they couldn't replace them. Well, there was this transition. And we got a fellow at the top of it called Putin. And they're booming. And it isn't just based on gas and oil. It shows you how quick, if God's behind it, somebody can come out of the doldrums when He greases their skids, enabling them to develop with all the smarts and all the wherewithal these kinds of weapons of mass destruction that for some reason Russia is going to feel the urge to take us down. Now, they're not going to be doing it because they think, well, I'm fulfilling Bible prophecy. No, they're pawns in it too, the leaders and all that. Christ controls history. He's the Lord of the armies. He brings up, brings down. He takes care of it. That's the confidence you and I need to have in these last days with regards to these matters. You need to go back and read these chapters. And there's some other chapters on the United States and prophecy as well. But my contention is this. Yes, we may have a downturn, but it's going to be temporary. You see how this prophecy is going to hold up. Christ controls history. Not these maniacs that are trying to destroy this country and bring us into a Soviet-style dictatorship. He controls history. He's the Lord of history. And God watches over His word to fulfill every single scintilla of it. Even things that you and I wouldn't necessarily grab a hold of. He watches over His word. It isn't a matter of, well, it turned out to be 75% good. No, it's 100% perfect. So that was my deal today for you on this. So maybe there's a play on words here. The sea has come up over Babylon. She has been engulfed with its tumultuous waves. Her cities have become an object of horror. America, like no other country that I know of, is built around cities. Dotted all around from coast to coast, up and down, north and south, cities. Houston being the fourth largest. Just threw that in. Cities. They will be targeted. They will be taken out instantly. All of them burned with thermonuclear weapons out of Russia. I do not know what it will be that will provoke Russia to do this pretty radical thing, even from their standpoint. You nuke out a country like us, you've got to deal with the blowback. The air is going to be filled with radioactive dust, and the winds, the trade winds and everything, will carry it everywhere. But then again, Jesus Christ controls that. That's the rider on the, behold, a pale horse. The one that kills so many people. What they call collateral damage. I mean, these winds will blow this junk over Russia too, presumably. But for some reason, they're willing to do it in what they consider their own interests. So in this instance, the Russian leadership at the time and the Lord will be of one mind. Just like the Lord will be of one mind with the Antichrist to take down the Catholic Church. It's a long time coming. For all her crimes, there'll be a one mind. And they're so different, it's night and day, but there'll be a one mind. A parched land and a desert, a land in which no man lives, and through which no son of man passes. Not just soon after the event. Of course nobody would come walking in here right after, when the place is still hot. But nobody will pass through it ever. The judgment on America is so severe. Now, it's not my point here to get into all the reasons why God would take this extreme action against America. But I think a lot of you know what our crimes have been historically. and the things we are promoting in this country that's an affront to God. This is the month to celebrate sexual deviancy. June. The Department of Justice. You kidding me? But anyway, it's another example of the Sodom and Gomorrah side to our history. That wasn't always that way. We weren't always that way. When I was growing up and my parents, it was considered offensive for two people, man and woman, let alone the rest of this mess, man and woman to live together. Now it's, big deal. It's nothing now. It's celebrated. But I'm off topic. I will punish Bel and Babylon. I'll make what he has swallowed come out of his mouth. And the nations will no longer stream to him. Immigration. Another key to identifying the Babylon. It's built on immigration like no other country ever was. You don't say Russia was built on immigration. Japan. They're not built on immigration. We're built on immigration. That is a hallmark of our civilization. There's nothing wrong with it. It wasn't that God hated that. It's just that the nations will no longer stream to her. And other verses say, all the foreigners are in her midst. When the fifth cycle hits, will be like women. They'll be wishing they were back in Asia or wherever they were, or in some hellhole in Latin America. See how Bible prophecy delivers people and informs people of things. But everybody will get a chance. That it's not as though God is going to hide it from these people. Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. Otherwise, you're just going to die the sin of the death. And how'd you get to heaven? I got hit by a thermonuclear bomb. Took it right down my throat. I was vaporized into the atmosphere quicker than you could say, nuke. And the nations will no longer stream to him, and even the wall of Babylon has fallen down. This is a play on the Babylonians trusted in their wall for defense. It was a notorious wall. It was so large. His Nebs built it. Nebuchadnezzar, I like that guy. I mean, I didn't like all the things he did and the way he acted. But when you get the whole history of a man and you bring it all the way down, I can't wait to meet that guy. We're going to meet him. He's in heaven right now. His Nebs. He wiped out the Jewish state. Hauled him into captivity. But he met Daniel. And he met a couple other things. And God slapped him with a funny disease called boanthropy, where he identified with being a cow. And messed up his endocrine system. And he had feathers like a bird and skin, a hair all over where he shouldn't have it. But he kept enough of his mentality that he could turn to the Lord. And he did. See, this is a stubborn guy. This is one of the examples of a hard nut to crack. But God did it. In his grace, he brought him to his senses. And he turned to the Lord. And he got restored. That's why I think it was just a short time, like 3 weeks tops, that he was out there living with the cows. That's what they did when a person displayed, because an angel came and slapped this mental, physical thing on him. That what they did in the ancient world is they didn't put you in some nice hospital for crazy people. They put them out with animals and said, good luck. He came walking back in the city of sound mind. And sent a message to all his inhabitants. It's in one of those chapters, I think the fifth chapter of Daniel, where he prays the Lord of heaven. This is a long ways to come from where he came from. It can be done. I think in the last days there's going to be some notable people that in high places they're going to turn to the Lord. I don't just mean be a sloppy Christian running around with, you know, like some of them are fundamentalists and so forth. I mean serious, serious people. Serious people of the book. There's an appeal made to them in Psalm 2 to the kings and the judges of the earth. Kiss this king, or you will perish in the way. And kiss indicates something of affection. It's a figure for salvation adjustment. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. We always have to, as believers in Jesus Christ, keep our minds focused on the things we have learned. I mean, yes, it's good to go on to new stuff, but it's very important that we are totally on top of the prophecies, because we can be influenced, any of us, by prognosticators, and this is what's going to happen, and all this business. Bible prophecy trumps all of this. Always. Always will. And the prophecies related to the United States in prophecy are very, very specific and narrow in their identification, one of the country and the condition of the country the day it goes down. So for believers after the rapture, it'll be a test to leave the comforts of Babylon, lived sensuously. That doesn't mean just sexual stuff. That means that all that stimulates the sensory system, eye, taste, touch. That's all the goodies, material, experience, things. Living sensuously is, let's go to the ball game. Let's make a day of it. And some people can afford to do that, and some people find a way to do it. Now we don't have any sports going on. They're going to change. Things are going to change. We're going to make a comeback. You watch and see. You watch and see. Once they get over this stupidity and run around scared and realizing that this is a lot to do about, not a lot, way overreaction. So you just go out there and be a witness and go about your life like you can, so far as you can. You know, I'm not gonna go in a place and wear a mask if that's what they require, unless I have to. I'm not doing it. But that's just me. I'm not gonna point my finger at you at all. You might as well try to stop mosquitoes with a chain link fence. Do you know how small one of those viruses is? You can't even see it without an electron microscope. Doctors are saying this. But people, this is perfect way the propaganda has gripped these people. Stay away from a lot of their stuff. They're playing games with you in all kinds of other areas too. God's going to work through this. The prophecies are going to stand tall. America's going to continue to be the envy of the world. This prosperity, it may even surprise me what's going to come down in that department. Like I said, if God wills something, if He wills that the Sahara Desert starts blooming and prospering like nobody's business, it'll happen. Well, certainly will happen in the millennium. God said, let there be, and there was. That's the God we serve. Remember that. With regard to your health, with regard to anything. Your complete and total trust in Him in these last days. And don't worry about this stuff. It doesn't glorify Him. We'll get back to this next time. I had to do this. I just felt compelled to do it because this is something that is designed to stabilize you in the last days. And try not to get too worked up by what a lot of these people are saying. A lot of these people are saying a lot of stuff true. I know what the New World Order is trying to do. They're trying to turn the world into a slave market and hook us all up with crap and run us through all these things. But they're not going to get that far. Now, in the trib, yeah, with the Antichrist and the mark and that requires some thinking about turning these people into zombies and neutralizing their volition. I haven't figured out how they're going to figure out if some weak-kneed believer who just wants to work and go to work and make money cannot get it. That's out there. Somebody said, well, God will kill them the minute they try to go that direction. Well, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. But we work with these things as we get closer to the end. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.